Welcome to episode 316 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. Tent and Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Psalm 73 is listed as a Psalm of Asaph. There were a number of Levites that David assigned as worship leaders in the tabernacle choir when he was king. Asaph was one of these men. Asaph served in the temple during David's reign and likely continued that service when Solomon ascended to the throne. Asaph is also described in scriptures as a seer or prophet. Let's begin with verses 1 to 3. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The psalmist begins with praise, followed by confession. I know God is good, and I know that he's especially good to those whose hearts are pure. But my heart wasn't what it should have been. I almost fell. I almost lost my way. I almost let sin get the better of me, because I noticed that the wicked were prospering. What good is there in being good? If the wicked enjoy the same prosperity as the pure in heart, then what is the reward of godliness? Verses 4 to 9. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. How come the most reprehensible people seem to be living on Easy Street? Why do good things seem to happen for bad people? Why do the good die young, but we can't ever seem to get rid of the miserable, mean, manipulative, malicious, maladjusted malcontents among us? An alternate version of verse 4 goes like this. For they have no pangs unto death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. Asaph has seen enough wicked people die seemingly happy and at peace, enough for him to say there are no pangs in their death. But he doesn't stop there. Not only are the wicked rewarded equally to the righteous, they seem to be more blessed than the pure in heart. Their lives seem to have less trouble, and it seems that they are not as plagued as the average person. In fact, in Asaph's analysis, God does not punish the wicked as he should. They simply become more wicked, and even wear their pride as prominently as one might wear flashy jewelry. They are emboldened to become more violent, greedy, and more likely to scoff and blaspheme. Verses 10 to 14. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. They say, how would God know? In the previous verses, Asaph tells us that the wicked set their mouths against heaven. Here he tells us what they say against heaven. They claim that God is blind or ignorant. Therefore they can do as they please, and God is unable to do anything against them. In his frustration, Asaph sees the ungodly life as the good life. They are always at ease. They are always increasing in riches. They are rewarded for their wickedness by a God who seems to be as unknowing as the wicked say he is. Asaph's frustrations keep building. It seems to him that it is pointless to be pure in heart, a waste of effort to have clean hands, of no value to be innocent. He feels that his life is much more difficult than the life of one who is ungodly. While the wicked enjoy wealth and ease and pride, Asaph has to endure being afflicted all day long. and these experiences are repeated every morning. Verses 15 to 17. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. The crisis seemed to build and build for Asaph until he went into the house of the Lord. There he gained a perspective on his problem that he did not have before. There he was able to see things from an eternal viewpoint, and he then understood the imminent end for the wicked, their final destiny. Verses 18 to 20. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. The ease and security that it seems the wicked enjoy is an illusion. They are actually on slippery ground. They could fall at any moment. Earlier in the psalm, Asaph worries that his feet had almost slipped. Now, with a perspective gained from being in the house of the Lord, he sees that the wicked are the ones on slippery ground. Verses 21 to 24. When my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Asaph confesses before the Lord that he had a sinful lack of understanding before he went into the house of the Lord. He feels foolish that he had forgotten the obvious truths of eternity and God's justice. Verses 25 to 28. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. For Asaph, God is not only a heavenly hope, but an earthly desire as well. God is both his inheritance in heaven and his earthly desire. The psalmist recognizes both his weakness and the strength of God and the enduring character of God's strength. Perhaps you came into 2022 resolving to grow in your spiritual life, wanting to have a closer walk with God. Yet after a couple of weeks, the cares of life have begun to crush you as you struggle with bills, with COVID, with daycare challenges, and more. You begin to get discouraged. That discouragement worsens as you look around and you see unbelievers who seem to be prospering. Before giving up, before slipping, you need to change your perspective. You need some time in the house of the Lord. You see, our perspective is limited. We can't see the end from the beginning. We don't understand the illusion of the wicked prospering. But we've got to trust God. We've got to hold on. We've got to realize that his promises are sure, that his providence is real, that he does reward the faithful. Father, thank you for the blessing of a new perspective. Help us to find our way to your house where we can gain new insights in our moments of despair. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.